The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey there. Welcome to the program. We're so glad you're listening. Sherry is here. She is the producer of the program, and I am the content provider. She doesn't know what's coming. You need to know that.
Yes, you do need to know that.
I keep forgetting to tell people that. Like, that's how the show works. It's me coming in with stuff. She has no clue. She reacts in real time, which is genius.
Thank you.
A lot of people can't handle that. Right. They really can't.
So just imagine someone with a basket of stuff you can't see.
Yeah.
They turn their back to you, and right. they... come in front of you with it and like, look at this.
But it's like a gift too. And it's maybe something you didn't want.
Yeah,
but then you have to respond
in
real time. That's Sherry's thing.
Where you're like, oh, yeah. Socks.
Right, even now. She's like, why are you still talking? And I don't know. But you get
but
the, yeah, but I'm here. Yeah, there's a lot of news going on. We know that. Lots of news all the time, I understand. Totally. Mm-hmm. A lot of very important things. But they're ignoring some stuff that we will cover here.
Oh,
I will break in when I am handed, as I have just been, breaking animal news, and it's breaking. This news, Adam, I get a little emotional about. I've always suspected that Kermit the Frog is real at some level. Okay, I don't want to get into all that existential discussion.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
But they just found a frog species in South America. It looks exactly like him, Sherry.
What brand?
Exactly
it
like
it has
him.
Arms and legs like
it has
him.
Arms and legs. He's green with the same expressions. It looks like Kermit. I'm telling you. And they just discovered this species. It's amazing. The only difference is Kermit has a little neck fringe thing that he
yes,
has.
Yes, that is right.
This frog doesn't have it. We can make those
the frog
and distribute
like
them. And I see that as a valid use of time. So if you knit... or whatever, just little neck fringy things. We put them on
Does
there.
Does he play
be
a banjo? Do these
That's
frogs
another
play ish, banjos?
That's another thing I want to think about is getting the little banjos.
Are they interested in pig women?
Okay, this is an unfolding story. Pig women, that's silly. That's silliness. Anyway, that's the latest from South America. Question for you, and they just did this survey. They asked people, how old is old? Like, what age before you're like, that you're old?
Mm-hmm.
And they found the age is 57. That's fine with me.
All right.
I mean, problem, but I really, what is what's better than being old?
Well, I don't know.
You get all these benefits, and then instantly, like when I'm 57, it's not that far off. It's out there, but it's, you know, it's going to happen, I hope. And,
it's on the horizon.
People will look at you and go, wow, you're doing great. If you're young,
you're supposed to be doing great,
but you know, I don't see any problem. Well, I want to do this. I want to be old.
You're saying the bar for greatness gets lower and lower as you get older and
it
older.
It sounds good to me. Just keep lowering the bar, and eventually, I'm going to get over it. Thank you to Fellowship Home Loans for sponsoring our podcast. Their phone number, if you're interested in refinancing your house or buying a house or whatever, they're awesome to talk to. Mike and Brian. Talk to Mike or Brian. They're great. Anyway, phone number 800-804-SAVE if you're interested. Not that you asked about my brain, but I would like to talk about my brain for just a moment. And,
oh, wonderful.
But also your brain, too. Everybody's brains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But just to be personal, I've seen things that I wish I hadn't seen. I've absorbed a lot of dumb stuff and thought about a lot of dumb stuff and wrong stuff and hurtful stuff. And my brain has had all this happening over the decades.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I love, though, is that scripture about how you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Renewing. Like, there's a state that we can go back to that is much like new, like it's supposed to be. And even though I've had all that happen, it's not the last word. Like, there is a renewing process. I can be more joyful, more at peace. In spite of all this stuff I've allowed myself to see and think about over the years. I hope that makes sense to you.
It does. It's wonderful.
Okay,
good news.
Yeah, it is good news. Like, it's not over here. There's a childlikeness, and I mean that not childish, but a childlikeness that can be really joyful. You know, Sherry, on the radio show, we're now on podcast stuff right now.
Yes, we are.
But you really cut my thing to the ribbons. You made it sound silly.
What are you talking about?
The breaking animal news. about the Kermit looking frog, and I'm doing this update for radio listeners, and you
it's a breaking animal news ridiculous. About a frog that looks like a frog.
You asked. You asked, and if you're listening, maybe you caught what she said. She said, "Oh, is it attracted to pig women?" Or women pigs or something.
Miss
it
Piggy.
Just made it sound. Well, it's but you made it sound. This is an important zoological discovery of a Kermit-looking frog, and you made it sound.
Why is it okay to bring up one Muppet and not the other? You brought up Kermit.
We haven't. Sherry, we haven't found
a pig that looks like Miss Piggy,
a dressed up, vertically standing
with little kitten heels on,
with blonde hair. And when we do, I promise you.
Fine, you'll cover it.
I promise you. But for right now, let's focus on what they found, a creature that God created.
Sure. Oh, okay. It
looks like
let's
Kermit.
Let's definitely go there.
And yeah, and his little, I mentioned he doesn't have a little neck fringe thing, but that
That's
can be
right.
fixed.
It doesn't have to be fixed.
Fix
do we know? Do we know that this frog
People
is saying?
People have a lot of time on their hands. Okay. You know that. They're watching like 6 hours of Netflix a day. At least while you're watching Netflix. I'm not even saying stop it.
Right.
While you're watching it, though, if you want to do a handcraft, make a little tiny...
We don't know
neck
that,
fringe thing, and
we don't know that he wants it.
But they'll look exactly like Kermit. It'll be very fulfilling to us. See, it's diminishing.
I'm sorry if I keep you don't
you
want
make it
question.
Sound silly.
That's the problem.
You make
with,
it sound silly. I don't. I'll try to. Do they like pig women? I'm sure.
That's fine, Brent. That's fine.
Hi, I'm producer Jerry.
I'm gonna make fun of frogs that look like frogs.
Just made it sound so silly.
I did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right after I talked about the little banjo.
Then here I come with my silly information.
Over the top. All right. Here's what we're gonna do. Welcome to Dilemma Street.
Oh, it's Dilemma Street. Didn't know that's where we were going.
Oh yeah.
All right.
What's up? We're on the street here. It's a very cool urban setting.
Mm-hmm.
On the old stoop.
Yes. Social distancing.
Social distancing on the stoop. Big stoop. Lots of room. Chalk outlines for everybody.
Little circles where everyone's supposed to stand. Yeah. Yeah.
And what we do on Dilemma Street is offer.
Non-expert advice.
Yeah, I'm just gonna put it like that. You can't sue us for. We're just friends talking about stuff. Like if you came up like, "Hey man, I don't know what to do," we'd be like, "Oh, I don't know."
Right.
We kick it around. Maybe we have something good to say. Maybe we don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Pressure's off.
Great.
All right. So this is the dilemma here, and I'm wearing, by the way, my very awesome here on the on the street. I'm wearing a track jacket today.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. It's still got the triple Dilemma Street Dragons.
Well, it's getting warmer.
Thing on the back. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So I'm looking pretty cool.
Nice.
And track pants as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Athletic look out here.
Very leisurely out here on Dilemma Street.
Hey, Brent and Sherry, says this person. I guess I can use her name. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe not.
Okay.
So it's Jessica.
Nice.
Said, I'm rolling onto Dilemma Street with my neon Heelys and my bucket hat on. That's cool.
Bucket hat. Haven't seen it.
And I know. And neon Heelys. That's pretty cool. I work in a really great place, Jessica says, and absolutely love my boss. She and I are close, and she confides in me frequently about her relationship with her Christian boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
She says that the core of their relationship is not strong because they disagree spiritually, but from day to day, they are best friends. Most of their disagreements have to do with Jesus. She believes in him, but thinks the Bible is outdated and that she doesn't need him to be her everything. She also has severe anxiety and often has panic attacks. His response to this is that she needs to have more faith and that if she relied more on Jesus, her anxiety would go away.
Mm.
After telling me this, she usually explains to me how much this angers her and says this doesn't help whatsoever. I have steered clear of saying that I agree with him in certain ways because I know that would shut her down and I don't want to lose this opportunity with her that I know God is giving me. How do I explain to her that Jesus does want all of her and wants to heal her? I know that growing in a relationship with Jesus doesn't get rid of your anxiety immediately, but I do believe that if we cast all our cares on him, that he's a powerful healer. Thanks so much for taking the time to read this. I listen to your podcast daily, and I absolutely love it. So Jessica,
that's sweet. Thank
super
you.
Nice. So yeah, we're hanging here. We just heard what you said, Jessica. And
now we're going to say something back.
I have a thought, but I want you to go first.
Why?
Because I usually go on, and then you, well, I feel like I take the air out of the room.
No, you don't. don't take the air out of the room, I don't think.
Out here on the street. I don't take the air off of the living street.
It's just everybody's a big like, I can't block breathe. Of carbon dioxide.
The drivers are falling asleep, driving by.
What happened
just
out here?
Just bored everybody into stupor.
No.
People taking naps on Stewie. Man, that guy had some good stuff to say. But
go ahead, it's fine.
All right.
Yeah. Or unless you just want me to. Okay. How long did she say how long she's been there?
Nope.
Okay. Because sometimes I think people, there are situations where people have circumstances and we have the quote unquote answer and we want to fix it very quickly. And I don't know that that's always the route to go. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes in the course of relationship, naturally, that's what it's been for me. If I try to force an issue or force, mm-hmm. now if someone is clearly destructive, that's one thing. But for me, it's always worked best. I'm not saying this is.
She seems hip to this, by the way.
Okay, yeah, she does.
She's like, I don't want to put her down. Right. I don't want to push her away. Like, none of that.
Yeah.
So it does. I think that's very valid what you're saying. I appreciate it. I think she's hip to that.
Yeah, which is great. And I think that if it were me, that's the path that I would follow, saying, okay, naturally in the course of this relationship, there'll be a very, I'm hoping, a clear opening where we can discuss that where she's open. Because if not, then it just turns into, you know what I mean? Here's what your problem is. Here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people need that. But I think sometimes just waiting for a good opportunity where the person's heart and mind seems open.
You know what I wrote down?
What?
When I saw her note, I just wrote two things beneath it.
Okay.
And I wrote Socratic method.
Okay.
Which is, I think it's a great way to engage people.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what you're saying, but you're not talking about it either.
Right.
Just ask her questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think, where do you think your anxiety does come from? Mm-hmm. You don't ever have to jump in and explain everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's talking to her about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to be a blessing to her. But I just think asking people really good questions, like, what do you think
good.
A good life looks like? What do you want to live for, ultimately?
Who do you think Jesus is? Why do you think you came?
What do you think? And you don't
have
to correct.
You want it? That, yeah.
You know, one of the wonderful things about Jesus himself is the lack of coercion. I mean, he could have spelled it all out every time, and he just doesn't feel a need to do that.
Oh, my goodness. One of my favorite things is, who is my neighbor?
Yeah, right.
There once was a man.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah.
And then people are like,
He didn't mind doing that.
Maybe what's not recorded after that is some guy after that story going, anyway, who's my neighbor? Because
maybe you understand what Jesus didn't mind doing that. And I like that. That's very, very good. That's very good.
I think it's genuine.
Yes.
I genuinely want to know what she thinks about this and that. And
because a lot of times I think we assume what a person is thinking, right? Mm-hmm. We get bits and pieces of a thought process they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm speaking about me, not you, Jessica. I get two or three little pieces of a discussion and I piece them together into this is what this person's thought process is. This is what they, but questions really will reveal, not just to you, but to them, what they think, what they believe, their position. And from there you can go. But I think it also shows a good level of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important.
It is. And I can tell you love them.
Yeah.
Which bottom line, your love for her, if it's evident, not coercion, not power.
Mm-hmm.
But your love for her, if it's evident, makes making the jump a lot more plausible.
Mm-hmm.
You and I and Sherry, if we're followers of Jesus, we, even if we're not talking religion with somebody, we want to make it more believable that God loves them, more plausible.
Mm-hmm.
Is this story plausible in the way that you're reacting to stresses that are happen at work, in the way that you're reacting to little things that she's noticing, because she probably is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, does it become more plausible? Like, this is true. This story's true. I'm seeing different people.
That's really good.
Thanks.
Yeah. See, that didn't take the oxygen out of anything.
Okay, good. All right.
we still have oxygen
we're still
here.
Cool, yeah.
Everything is fine.
Hopefully helpful.
And I want to applaud her for asking even what should she do. Because a lot of people would just launch in on their horse with their sword. And I have the answer. So the fact that you're even considering.
Nice. Not launching in there with your horse.
And sword.
And sword.
We applaud that.
Horse sword launching happening on Dilemma Street. This has been Dilemma Street.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, The Truth About Us, go to BrantHanson.com.